Chapter 1. The Voyage. Cutler. Einar owns me. The runes at my collarbone speak from the carved stone, smooth with wear. The amulet belonged to another before me, another thrall whose name is lost. They don't remember even how she died, only that she did about the time that I was born. At my birth, I was named for the fire burning beneath the mountain's ice, Katla, and the string was tied, and so I have ever worn it. I have always been a slave. Then why the unfamiliar sorrow that I am leaving the only land I've ever known, this land of my bondage? Yet I gaze about me almost mournfully, as my master, Einar, stands upon the shore, tall among the circle of chieftains, setting the last of the plans before we see this place no more. The only one taller is Eirik Rauda himself, his flaming head bright beside the others mostly grey. It is he who's planned this voyage to the great land to the west, beyond the open sea. Serving at my master's banquet table 2 years ago at Yule, I heard Eirik tell of its lush pastures and its deep fjords brimming with walrus, seals and birds. "So broad and vast and rich, friend Einar," he said, "think on it. Think, if you dare, to come. Already there's a fjord name for you. I've set it so myself, Einar's Fjord, all flush and green, the fairest farm, save perhaps my own, and set beside mine, with naught between our mighty homesteads but a pasture thick with grass and moss so fresh, sprouting up to make your cow's milk sweet and your sheep fat enough to slaughter even before the springtime's melted snows."
"You say it is such?"
I saw my master raise a grizzled brow.
"Well, to think on it. There's not so fine about this Iceland now. Thick it is with homesteads, and only the lowliest grounds left upon the ashen hills, barely enough to feed our sheep, yet quick run thick with blood and feud if others have first claimed it.
Your talk is tempting, Eirik, almost too fair to be believed.
Yet you know me well, Einar."
"That, old friend, I do. I wouldn't cross you in a fight, or when you're hard at drinking. Yet I'll tell you, you're mostly honest, if hard-tempered. For this, I'll think upon your offer and speak of it with my mistress, Grima. Yet what shall I tell her is the name of this new place?"
"Ah," Eirik Rauth, full smiled then, his teeth rough-chipped, yellowish some, and broken in his ruddy beard. "Greenland," slowly Eirik Rauth did muse. "Greenland." And the sound of it, so thick and fresh and hopeful on my master's tongue. "So, and now, many months long past, we are set about to go. I wait with the other thralls in a line before the plank. Einar's hefty trader's ship keens chorus with the other Nars. 25 in all, each with bright painted shields of wood and clanking metal hung upon their low-slung rails and outstretched, dripping oars. Each is set to be captained by another master. Halfgrim, Herjolf, Kettle, Hrapen, even Helgi Thorbrandsson among their lot, all powerful here in Iceland once, but pushed out by hunger, vengeance, greed. They and all their households, their wives and sons, daughters and married kindred, and all their thralls, like me, packed to go to sea. Such a crowd! All about are bondsmen's scalps, bald pates shaved and shining as this morning's springish dew, while we bonded women wear our best and only sheath of wadmal cloth, grey and drab and of a sweaty woollen, with a flaxen kerchief tied around our brows and braids. Nay, we look yet all the same, all dull and soiled, reeking, worn threadbare upon our elbows, while the freemen and their ladies nearly dance upon the braid of fjord rocks, flaunting all their finest, thickest woollens, their boots of fur and leather, their cloaks of seal, reindeer skins, and sometimes even bear with claws, all cheered and tucked and warm, set about to face the sea's fierce chill. The Nars rock to and fro, jolted by each foot stepping cautiously from plank to deck. Beneath, the fjord's waters brew up darkly. Barely I raise my chin above my bundle. Small and coarse, it holds all that I possess. I clutch it tightly to my bosom. My heart pounds against it. Already my skin is cold. We crowd of thralls are thrust about. Upon a shouting, "Off!" we are pressed to let a horse, heavy laid with bundles, pass. It steps upon the planking board, which sags, groaning loudly. "Oh, 'twill break!" sudden the other thrall's quick whisper. "Or sink the ship! Nay, I'll not ride upon it! Nor step, not another foot aboard!" The master's thrall's watch hears us. He comes, heavy with his step, a seal's gut cord twined about his fingers. "Hush you, all of you, or upon your backs will fall our fate, as swift and ill as the whim of the weaving Norns." The fateful Norns, three weaving ladies. So we're told they weave even upon the Norse gods' fate. Old one-eyed Odin, Frey and Freya, Frigga, Thor, and even Loki fear them. I like it not to think upon them now, upon this coast, before this swaying board. Yet the foreman's words hush up the rest. The horse passes from the planking, settling in the hull of our master's ship. More they load the Nars, ever tighter with cattle, boxes, trunks, bags of meal and seed, packets of skin and coiled rope. Around me, braying goats and sheep, soil bundles we packed just last night or many weeks before, while the sea laps still and hungrily upon our clamour. From the first, there had been talk of dread upon this trip. Thralls talk, mostly, all fired up and wary. Grumbles, grunts, and reluctant groans from those who feared to stay or those to go. Well, we knew Einar couldn't take us all. He would choose, and many terrored they'd be sold away. They trembled at their fate, looked about askance, plotted some, and planned and fretted mostly. I think I alone didn't wonder much, for I knew where my mother went, I would surely be. And she would be with Einar. She had been his favourite, even until the day she died. So, last spring, as I chored upon the hill, watching old ships in the fjord raised up and repaired, and fresh logs hewn to build new Nars, I began with some excitement, and much unexpected dread, to realise we would truly leave this Iceland. Some say life is always better far away, where a slave might be freed if he proved his worth, or at least free to do somewhat more as he pleased. But I say life here is all I know. What lies ahead, I cannot see.